Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on quacks and quackery when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton, back in 1880, made this observation. He said, there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it and I know it. Now, Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet which was given to him by the leaders of his craft. He was an editor of a New York newspaper. He went on to say that there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now, you know it and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are, he said, the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program, the New World Order. They're the men and families like the Windsors and the Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that we all ought to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists and philosophers and preachers and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible Prophecy, and this New World Order, why don't you call and order? Just ask for our free 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, it's the place to start, and it's free of charge. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or georgegordon.com, either one. And click on to our archives page, the archive. And on the archives page, there's a streaming version, and then there's a downloadable version on MP3 that you can download of the free compact disc package, free of charge. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it? All right, we've been talking about quacks and quackery. Now, remember the guy that's writing and giving us the information. His name is Eustace Mullins. He wrote a book by the name of Murder by Injection. He's got a chapter in here called Quacks, and the quacks now are identified by the American Medical Association. They came up with the word quack. They said anybody that's practicing medicine and they don't agree with us or they don't follow our modality, they're quacks. And what we've been seeing here is that the American Medical Association fits their own definition of quacks and quackery perfectly. And they are the number one quacks, and they're in the position of making the laws that define what a quack is. They are the judge, the jury, and the executioner. That's how the game is being played. And one of the guys that played so prominently in the game is a guy by the name of Morris Fishbein. And Fishbein was on the take, as was his predecessor Simmons. The first two guys that created the American Medical Association and operated it from about 1847 until 1950, there's a couple, three guys in between there, but these two guys primarily, were journalists. These guys were paid professional frauds called journalists, hucksters. And they took over a trade association by the name of the American Medical Association. And it was a natural for making money. I mean, this thing is a natural moneymaker. In fact, that's what their bylaws call for, is making money. It's there to protect the incomes of the members. So if you thought the American Medical Association was there to find cures to diseases or to treat you for your diseases, you cut your head up the wrong end here, partner. And in fact, they tell you very plainly that's not what we're here for. But they're not advertising that, obviously. I mean, you know, a con man doesn't come along and say, hey, I'm a con man. And I'm going to lie to you, and you're going to love it because I've got such a neat story to tell. The con man comes to you like any counterfeiter, and he presents his credentials. He says, I am the original. I am the genuine article. Your medical doctor comes to you. He's got a great, terrific bedside manner. He says, I am the original. I am here to help. I'm from the AMA. Now, of course, when we take a look at their fruits, this is what God told you to do. You know, your creator said, you will know them by their fruits. Now, what kind of fruit are these guys producing? And Eustace Mullins now has been going through this. Last time we were talking about all of these drugs and procedures that have been authorized by the AMA that failed and killed people. You know, every once in a while there's a big article that come out in the news concerning a drug that's being withdrawn from the marketplace. Some of them have killed as many as 50,000 people before they were recognized as being injurious to your health. And all of these drugs now get the AMA seal of approval. Isn't that special? So let's say Merck comes out with a new drug and they want to put this on the market. They have to get it approved by the FDA. Well, the AMA gets into it and Merck pays the AMA for their seal of approval. Then they advertise it in the AMA journal, the Journal of the American Medical Association, for you doctors out there so that you can prescribe it. You know, the average Joe Sixpack doctor over here, he doesn't know whether this drug is good, bad, or indifferent. He hasn't done any trials or studies. He's never seen it work before. He relies upon the recommendations of the pharmaceuticals, that is the companies that are making it, the FDA, the government outfit that approves it, and the American Medical Association, which puts a stamp of approval on it. And they presume, well, it must be good because all of the authorities agree. Listen, all of the authorities are in on the take. All of the authorities are quacks. All of the authorities have the police power and the lawmaking power. When you talk about Murder Incorporated having a perfect crime, what they never did was to go to Congress and say, listen, we need a license for Murder Incorporated. There's some people that need killing, and we need the license to do it. Medical doctors have it. A medical doctor kills you on the operating table, no problem at all. He's licensed. And in fact, that's why he needs the license. A license is permission to do something that's otherwise illegal, unlawful, a tort, or trespass. Killing you on the operating table is a trespass, and there needs to be a license to do that. And they got it. Now, they didn't get it from God, and here's where the ultimate end of this is going to lead us. That's why I told you last time, you know, about the story of Ezekiel and the watchman. See, the preacher should be out here. These preachers now are claiming to be the watchman from God, and that they're watching out for you. I asked you then, I said, have you ever heard of a preacher stand up in the pulpit and say, watch out for the AMA? I haven't seen that. Maybe you have. I haven't. Send me an email. Let me know where it happened. Give me the dates, times, and places. I'd be interested in knowing that. You mean there's a preacher out there, a man of the cloth, that's actually teaching the law of God? I mean, come on. Are you serious? Now, Morris Fishbein. One of Morris Fishbein's most dangerous errors was his approval of sulfathiazole, if that's the way to pronounce that, sulfathiazole, in 1941. On January 25, 1941, Fishbein announced that Winthrop Drug Company's sulfathiazole has been accepted by the Council on Pharmacy and Chemistry for inclusion in its official volume of new and non-official remedies. Winthrop was a subsidiary of the international drug cartel IG Farben of Germany. Sulfathiazole was also approved by Dr. J.J. Durrett, the FDA official in charge of new drugs. Durrett was a Rockefeller approved appointee to this vital position. By December 1940, 400,000 tablets had been sold, which contained as much as 5 grains each of luminol. The safe dosage was 1 grain of luminol, and many persons who took the Winthrop dosage never woke up. Now, I don't know how many drugs have been approved and then killed a bunch of people and then have been withdrawn from the marketplace. I know of 10 that I've heard of in my lifetime. Probably it's in the neighborhood of 100, probably. And Eustace Mullins here in this chapter on quacks and quackery has a bunch of them listed. I didn't count them up, but, you know, there's 10 or 15 in this chapter alone. And remember that all of these drugs, when they come out of the pharmaceutical companies, testing and development and so on, are then approved by the FDA, and then they're checked over by the AMA, and then they're put out here in the marketplace. And there's a process and a procedure for doing that. And then we find out that they kill 50,000 people. I just ask you, is that quackery? Would you say that people who are putting these drugs out are quacks? If the answer to that's no, hell, just stick with the program that you're on. You'll love it. Works perfectly. If you're a little on the sidelines like I am, you know, I'm sitting over here on the sidelines saying, wait a minute. And you put out a drug and it's 5 times the actual dosage that you should be taking. Didn't somebody check that dosage before they put it out in the marketplace? Surely the drug company was testing that on monkeys and human volunteers before they put it out in the marketplace. Where was the FDA when it came time to testing this to find out is 5 milligrams or 1 milligram the correct amount? Where was the AMA? They put their seal of approval on it. how come they didn't figure out that 5 was too much and 1 was the right amount? And, you know, talk about quacks and quackery. Now let me give you an illustration. What if a naturopath over here prescribed for you that you drink water, and you drank water, and for some reason you drowned? And the AMA would be right on the spot to say, well, this naturopath prescribed water, so therefore it's a prescription, therefore it's medically covered, and he's a quack. They do that, have done it, and will continue to do it. If a doctor delivers, if this is a naturopath, delivers a baby and the baby dies, they prosecute him for manslaughter. When a medical doctor does it, and they kill 11 times, get this, medical doctors kill 11 times more infants than do naturopaths and midwives. They're never prosecuted, and midwives and naturopaths are always prosecuted. Can you tell us why? Is it the medical monopoly at work? Who are the quacks, anyway? In 1937, the AMA approved an extremely poisonous preparation of sulfamylamide in a solution of diethylene glycol. This mixture caused a number of fatalities. It caused white blood cell loss, even though it was advertised that it would help heart disease. Long after Fishbein's departure, the AMA continued to endorse potentially dangerous products. The winter issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association featured advertisements for Supral in 200 milligram capsules, Suprofen, an analgesic, which has been approved by the FDA in December of 1985. It was produced by McNeil, a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson. By February 13, 1986, the firm had received the first reports of acute kidney damage. Yet on December 2nd, the FDA Arthritis Advisory Board recommended that Supral remain on sale as an alternative analgesic. It already had been banned in Denmark, Greece, Ireland, Italy, and Great Britain. McNeil suspended its production here on May 15th. 1986. Excuse me, now let's ask the question again. When this drug was put out on the market on February 13th, 1986, hadn't anybody tested this stuff before, and hadn't they come to the conclusion that it caused kidney failure or kidney damage in monkeys or in human beings that had volunteered to take the tests? You see, oftentimes the drug company will go to somebody, you know, say in college, some college kid, and say, we will pay you to take this drug for 6 months or a year so that we can monitor your health and determine whether or not this drug is safe and effective. There are volunteers right now, about 4,500, who are volunteering to take this swine flu vaccine. God love all you volunteers out there. I really appreciate it. That's what I want you to do. I want you people to act as guinea pigs. I don't want to be a guinea pig. I want you to be the guinea pig, and I want you to die. I want you to have the adverse reactions so that I can see how well this drug works. Now, I can't figure out now what it is that you people hope to gain from this. Maybe there's something that I'm missing here. But just the swine flu thingy over here, if it's unsafe and it's ineffective and it causes some kind of side effect over here, you got something to lose. Are the drug firms over here paying you something? Are they giving you $1,000? Are they giving you a lifetime supply of vaccine? Is there anything for you to gain? There's something to lose. Is there something for you to gain? Now, here I am, a consumer out here. I don't have anything to gain from this. And in fact, if I take 5 of these flu vaccines for 5 consecutive years, I will increase my chances of getting Alzheimer's disease by 10 times. I don't think I need to do that. I don't want to increase my chances of getting Alzheimer's disease by 1/10 of 1 percentage point. So I'm going to avoid the swine flu vaccine like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And by the way, if you get your recommended flu vaccine this year, you'll get 3 shots. You don't need to wait 5 years. You can increase your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease by 10 times, and you can cut it down to just 3 years. That's 3 shots this year, 1 next year, and 1 the year after. Hell, why wait 5 years to accomplish what you can do in 3? Get your dose of Alzheimer's today. Don't wait. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. Don't be the last person on your block to miss out on these once-in-a-lifetime values. Never before and never again values like these. And hell, this sounds like P.T. Barnum. Now, one of the more reprehensible episodes in Fishbein's long career was his denial of the seal of acceptance of the AMA to sulfanilamide, although it had been saving lives in Europe for several years, because its producers had failed to negotiate a satisfactory deal with Fishbein. Numerous persons in the United States continued to die of septicemia, or blood poisoning. The dam finally broke when a member of the Roosevelt family in dire need of immediate treatment with sulfanilamide had his physician obtain a special supply. Shortly thereafter, the AMA Council was forced to accept it. In 1935 and 36, the Council accepted and advertised in the Journal of Heart Stimulant digital. At the very time that government agencies were seizing and condemning interstate shipments of this drug as a substance dangerous to life. Another product, Ergo Aseptic, was accepted by the council, and advertisements for this product prominently featured in the journal. At the same time, the government agencies were seizing and condemning its shipments because of adulterants and misbranding. Hell, that's the same crap that's going on with vitamin B17. See, in 1958, they approved a drug called thalidomide, which caused tremendous numbers of birth defects. Well, they've approved that same drug again for other uses. Right now, today, it's still out there in the marketplace. And if you're a pregnant woman and you get hold of some of that, it will cause birth defects in your fetus, just like it did in 1958. I mean, you know, there's risks that go along with these drugs. I guess we all ought to be aware of that. That the drugs have risks. Be aware of it. And if you're willing to take the risks, well, then so much the better for you. But always remember, when the side effects come upon you, you're the one that made the choice. And after all, that's what liberty and freedom is all about, and I'm all for that. I'm not trying to abolish the AMA or allopathic medicine. What I'm trying to do is to inform people that the quacks are in control of the AMA. that's where the story is, kids. The story here is that the quacks are in control of the lawmaking process. And it works like a shot, and most people love it, and most people like it, and they want to buy it, and that's fine. I don't have any complaint. But then when Massachusetts comes forward and they say, Jesus, let's make this compulsory. I mean, this is so good. Let's make it a law. Well, now, at that point in time, I want to back out. You know, I just stay the hell out of Massachusetts. You know, it's probably a good place for all you liberals, and, you know, God love you, stick with it. I'd like to take all you liberals and put you in one place so that you could create utopia and that you wouldn't be a threat to the rest of us. God's kind of like that. He wants to take all the lawbreakers and throw them into the lake of fire so that they don't infect anybody else. Now, remember, this Fishbein over here now is a journalist. This Fishbein never spent a day as a doctor working on anybody. Got that? He's over here, the head of the AMA. He's the head honcho, approving or disapproving drugs based upon, well, did the pharmaceutical company pay me enough upfront money here to get the drug approved by the AMA? Are they still doing that today? What in the hell would make you think they've changed anything? Have you got any evidence that anything has changed here? Politicians are taking campaign contributions, the last I heard. Now, see, we don't call these bribes. See, we Americans over here, we have a thing about socialized medicine. We have a thing about bribes. Now, if you dress the socialized medicine up and you call it Medicare, that's okay. Call it health care insurance, we can buy that. We don't have a problem with it. But bribes, by God, we're not going to sit still for that. But campaign contributions, that's okay. We can handle that. Going on here, under the leadership of the nation's two most notorious quacks, Simmons and Fishbein, a gigantic nationwide drug cartel, an operation, was perfected, which today poses a serious threat to the health of every American citizen. The fixed prices of these drugs has been a continuing factor in the meteoric rise in the cost of health care. In 1976, the national bill was $95 billion, which was 8.4% of the gross national product, a figure which had risen from 4.5% in 1962. So it just about doubled from 62 to 76. 72, 70 in 16 years, 14 years. From 1955 to 75, the price index grew by 74%, while the cost of medical care rose 300%. Price index goes up 75%, healthcare goes up 300%. Dr. Robert S. Mendelson, an independent health practitioner, estimates that 30% of x-rays taken in the United States, and that's some 300 million a year, are ordered when there's no valid medical need. All right, have you ever had that happen? Listen, these x-rays, you know, are like selling Coca-Cola in a 7-Eleven store. So let me explain to you how this works. The 7-Eleven and the Circle K company and Come and Go and these little convenience stores, they're not in business to promote health, safety, and welfare of the public. They're in business to make money. Those are businesses. They're there to make profit and gain. Now, I used to work at a Circle K store. And while I was there, I learned some things. Let me pass it on to you. You think that Circle K is there to sell gas. No, they're not there to sell gas. They're there to sell beer and cigarettes. And that's because 67% of the sales that come out of those convenience stores are done with beer and tobacco. That is, $2 out of every three, two-thirds, 67% of all the sales that go on in a convenience store encompass just two products, just beer and cigarettes, beer and tobacco. If the 7-Eleven Corporation or Circle K had their druthers, they would open up the Circle K beer and tobacco store. The reason that they have gasoline out there is to draw you into the store. See, all of us need to buy gas, so we have to go to a gas station. So we pull into the 7-Eleven store, then we got to walk into the store to pay the bill. So we walk in the store to pay, and while we're there, we pick up a six-pack of beer and a pack of Marlboros. And there are some other neat sellers there, you know, chewing gum and fountain soda pops, and there's soda pop sales and so on. So it is true, once in a while, you might even pick up a gallon of milk or a can of peas, or you might buy a head of lettuce there. They've got it in there. But they don't have those grocery items in there because that's what sells. They have them in there so that they can keep up the appearance that this is a gas station, convenience store, and we sell food and food products. They're not there to sell food and food products. They're not even there to sell gasoline. And that's because there's no money in gasoline. There's no money in milk. There's no money in food sales in a convenience store. The money is in beer and tobacco. That's where the money's at. And that's all they want to sell, beer and tobacco. All the rest of that is just a facade. Now, let's just carry this forward and take a look here at the AMA. The AMA, medical doctor, he's an entrepreneur. He's here to sell. He's here to sell products, services. So you walk in the door. I did this some years ago. I had I jumped off the back of a dump truck, and I hurt my ankle. And then it was hurting for a few days. And so my wife said, "You've got gout." And I said, "Hell, lady, I jumped off the back of the dump truck, and I hurt my foot. I know when I did it." So I went into the doctor, and I said, "Hey, doc, I need an x-ray." He said, "No, you need two. One x-ray won't do it, you need two." I said, "Okay, doc, I'll pay you for two x-rays." And he charged me $75 for the two x-rays. I guess that's a reasonable amount, $35 apiece. Now, as it turned out, I had gout. I didn't have a broken ankle. And I thought my ankle was sprained or broken or something, but no, it wasn't. The doctor, in this case, sold me two x-rays. That's a part of what he sells in his store. It's like going into the 7-Eleven store, paying for your gas, picking up a six-pack of beer, a pack of Marlboros, and a 32-ounce fountain Coke. You go out, get in your car, and you drive down the street. That's what the 7-Eleven store is there for. That's what the doctor's there for. He's there to sell x-rays. And he's going to sell you an x-ray whether you need one or not, whether it's good for you or not. If there's a test, he's going to sell you the test. That's what he's there for. He sells tests. He sells EKGs. Oh, your heart's giving you a little pain. Let's take an EKG test. That's $300 or whatever it happens to be. Now, a federal expert reports that if we would reduce the unnecessary x-rays by one-third, we could save the lives of 1,000 cancer patients every year. And yet the responsible organization, the American Cancer Society, has consistently ignored this problem. The genetic effect of x-rays on the population in a single year has been predicted to cause as many as 30,000 deaths a year. In future years, 30,000 deaths a year from the use of x-rays causes cancer. How do we know that? Hell, it's the AMA and the allopathic medical doctors and the CDC and the FDA, the people that have the capacity and the ability to make the tests, to keep the statistics and report the numbers. Now, I'm not trying to save 30,000 lives a year, but, you know, here are the very people that are claiming that if you go to any other source for medical help, you're going to a quack. And these are the very same people that know, report, have the facts, the figures, and the statistics, and tell you plainly, x-rays kill 30,000 people a year. And one-third of all the x-rays taken are unnecessary. Why are they unnecessary? Well, because the doctor is making money by selling the x-ray. Oh, gee, we should give you a breast x-ray, lady, to see if you got cancer. It might make more sense to wait until you've got a lump in your breast and then take a picture of it, but then, you know, at that point in time, you know, the doctor says, "Hey, you know, we got to catch this thing in time, so come in every year and get your mammography or get your chest x-ray or. I was in a dentist's office, you know, one time, and the dentist said, "Well, I'm going to take an x-ray." I said, "What for?" "I had a hole in my tooth." I mean, you could just look in there and you could see the hole. There's a black hole in the tooth. "Hey, doc, fix that hole." He said, "Oh, I got to take x-rays." He wanted to sell me x-rays. I said, "Doc, I don't want to buy any x-rays. I just want to buy a filling. Fill the hole. Fill it with cement, you know, fill it with rubber, fill it with something, but do something even if it's wrong." And the guy said, "Well, that would be the equivalent of medical malpractice. Well, I won't treat you if you don't have an x-ray." I said, "Well, okay, doc, have it your way." I got up and walked out. I went to another dentist and I walked in the door. I says, hey, can you fill a tooth without an x-ray?" And the lady looked at me like I was suffering from the terminal stupid. She said, "Well, of course we could." I said, "Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't think you needed to take an x-ray to fill a tooth. I was just down the street, and old Doc so-and-so said that if I didn't take an x-ray of both sides of my mouth over here, he wouldn't treat me. So I just wanted to ask you before I wasted any of your time. I don't want an x-ray. I don't want the x-ray for medical reasons. I don't want it for religious reasons. I don't want it because I'm just cheap SOB, and I don't want to pay for it." And she said, "That's okay. We'll fill your tooth. And they did. Filled my tooth without an x-ray. But you might give it a try. I mean, you might have to try a couple, three dentists in order to find one. Dentists sell x-rays because they make money, not because they are necessary for your health. Now, meanwhile, back on the farm, you know, 20, 30 years from now, you may develop cancer caused by these x-rays that you've been taking, which today are innocuous. But 30,000 people a year, you know, that's a city the size of Eureka, California, a pretty good-sized bunch of people die every year in the United States because of these unnecessary x-rays. I just thought I'd pass that on to you, not to get you to not take x-rays. I mean, hell, if I needed an x-ray, I'd go get one. But I don't need the doctor making his bulk payments off of my x-rays that are going to give me cancer. Sorry about that. Now, let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are taking a look here at quacks and quackery. The book is called Murder by Injection. It's the story of the medical conspiracy against America by Eustace Mullins, and you can get a copy from bravenewbookstore.com. I'd call them first. The number is 512-480-2503. Telephone number in Austin, Texas. That's where they're located, Austin, Texas. The number is 512-480-2503. Online, they're bravenewbookstore.com. They're located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, G-U-A-D-A-L-U-P-E Street, Suite B, as in boy, Suite B, in Austin, Texas. Zip code is 78705. 78705. Talking about x-rays here and quackery. Now, the responsible organization, the American Cancer Society, has consistently ignored this x-ray problem. The genetic effect of x-rays on the population of the United States of America in a single year has been predicted to cause as many as 30,000 deaths per year in future years. In 1976, doctors wrote 1 billion doses for sleeping pills, some 27 million prescriptions, which resulted in 25,000 trips to emergency rooms for adverse drug reactions, and some 1,500 emergency room deaths from tranquilizers. 90% of these victims are women. By 1978, 5 billion tranquilizer pills were being prescribed. The most notorious of these, Valium, produces $500 million per year income for Hoffman La Roche Company. It is the epitome of the mythical Soma, described by Aldous Huxley in his Brave New World. The perfect drug, narcotic, pleasantly hallucinogenic, called Valium. So what we're doing here is we got 590% of these victims are women. 5 billion tranquilizer pills. 5 billion. Now listen, you know, Americans are hypocrites. They're opposed to drugs, aren't they? And we're spending billions of dollars a year on what we call the war on drugs, trying to prevent people from getting hold of cocaine, heroin, and marijuana. And yet, our drug dealers, called medical doctors, prescribed 5 billion tranquilizer pills a year, produces $500 million a year for Hoffman LaRoche Company. It makes $500 million a year off of this Valium, which is described as a perfect drug, narcotic, pleasantly hallucinogenic. Isn't that special? And that's sold over the counter to the general population. All right. Now, that's not called quackery. That's called modern medicine. Now, these people don't need that. Oh, I don't deny that it's pleasant. I don't deny it feels good. And I don't deny it. It's kind of like smoking cigarettes. I mean, hey, you people do not need to smoke. I smoked for 9 years. Hell, I'm an old-timey smoker. I never smoked a bad cigar. I enjoyed smoking. I enjoyed every puff. Every puff. Was it good for my health? I came to the conclusion that it wasn't, but I never had a medical doctor tell me that it was bad for me. I never had a preacher tell me that I ought not to smoke. Now, there are some preachers out there that do that. Probably some doctors out there now that do that, but I just didn't have one. Now, an English study showed that aspirin caused fetal defects, deaths, birth defects, and bleeding in newborn babies. Did you know that? Aspirin. Aspirin is the most common drug on planet Earth. You can buy it any and everywhere, over the counter. It's been around since 1900. Aspirin. Did you know that aspirin causes fetal defects, deaths, birth defects, and bleeding in newborn babies? I would imagine the average Joe Sixpack didn't know that, probably never heard that. Well, then, doesn't every doctor know that? Excuse me, is there any doctor out there that doesn't know that? Well, is there any doctor out there that shouldn't know that? I mean, hell, I'm a crummy plumber, and I know it now that I've read Eustace's book, an English study. Recently, a nationwide campaign was launched proclaiming that new study showed that an aspirin a day would prevent heart attack in men. An appended afterthought suggested that it might be wise to check with your personal physician before embarking upon this regimen. But how many thousands of men will at once begin to take a daily aspirin, hoping to postpone a dreaded heart attack, and unaware that they may be suffering from another result of the ingestion of aspirin? It's called internal bleeding. It is this property of thinning the blood which caused it to be recommended as a preventative for heart attack. Aspirin is also of doubtful value when taken to reduce fever. By reducing your fever in some instances, notably during the onset of pneumonia, it disguises the symptoms of pneumonia so that the physician is unable to make his diagnosis. It usually takes 20 minutes to dissolve in the stomach, and then only if it is taken with a full glass, 8 ounces of water. Few people know that if aspirin is taken with orange juice, its efficacy is greatly diminished because it may not dissolve. In September of 1980, the Food and Drug Administration announced that it would remove from the market more than 3,000 drugs whose effectiveness had not been proven. During the previous year, Americans had spent more than $1 billion on these same unproven drugs. Now watch this. Watch this. Here's your Food and Drug Administration. I'm going to underline this line here. Every drug has to be approved by the Food and Drug Administration. It's been that way since 1905. So the Food and Drug Administration approved 3,000 drugs that are ineffective or ineffective or had not proven their effectiveness. And then they come along and say, okay, we're going to remove these 3,000 drugs because they're unapproved now because they're ineffective. Well, where in the hell was the FDA when the trials were run? Where was the FDA when they approved these drugs to start with? You know, this thing is as phony as a $3 bill. Let me read this to you again. Wake up here now. Children, listen to this. In September of 1980, the Food and Drug Administration announced that it would remove from the market 3,000 drugs whose effectiveness had not been proven. All right, 3,000 drugs. Well, then, who approved these drugs for the marketplace to start with? Wasn't it the FDA since 1905? So here's the FDA. They approved these ineffective drugs. Then they came along and said, gee, I think we got some ineffective drugs out here. There's 3,000 of them. Let's take them off the market. Now, in 1979, Americans spent more than $1 billion on these same unproven drugs, many of which had been accepted by the AMA. AMA? Well, the AMA, remember, took their kickbacks from the manufacturer. Manufacturer walks in to Morris Fishbine or Simon between 1899 and 1950 and said, here's some green cuisine. We'll just pay you, put it on your list, and approve it, and then we'll go sell it. Now, when you're out here selling Big Macs and fries, you know, that's an atrocious atrocity committed against human beings, if that's the right way to word that. It's an atrocity. Now, nobody is approving this as some kind of a drug or a health food. Nobody is saying, I've never heard anybody say a Big Mac is going to prevent heart attack or stroke. Eat another package of French fries, it'll be good, you know, to thin your blood so that you won't have a heart attack. I've never heard that. But now these guys are out here selling drugs like aspirin and telling you an aspirin a day will keep the doctor away. No, an aspirin over here in an English study showed that aspirin caused fetal defects. All you pregnant ladies out there taking aspirin causes fetal defects, deaths, birth defects, and bleeding in newborn babies. Now, are you really sure that's what you want? Now, I don't deny that aspirin is common, but does that make it good just because it's common? Hell, Coca-Cola is common, but does that make it good? French fries are common, but are they healthful and nutritious? Hershey bars taste good. Hell, I don't deny it. But are you going to come out here and say a Hershey bar a day will prevent cancer? That's what they're telling you with some of these drugs, and some of these drugs cause birth defects, for crying out loud. Now, who in the hell are the quacks? Some naturopath that says drugs kill and you ought not to take drugs? Some midwife that delivers a baby? They're called quacks. I want to remind you women out there that for the first 5,000 years of our existence, we didn't have pediatricians. I would submit to you ladies out there that my grandmother, who delivered 7 babies, raised them all, and then took on another 7 during the Depression years and raised them too, would be a better person to ask about birth than a man who has never had a baby. I have always been amazed at you women going to a male pediatrician. I could see you ladies going to a female pediatrician. Now, that makes some sense to me. I don't think it would make any sense to me if you went to a female pediatrician who had never had a baby. Would you go to a mechanic who had never fixed an engine? Would you take your transmission to a mechanic who had never rebuilt an automatic transmission before? You know, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? Now, I could see going to an old Mormon lady who's had 12 babies and asking that old Mormon lady, "Ma'am, could you explain to me, an 18-year-old novice, first-time mother, what I should be doing during my pregnancy? What should I be eating? Should I be taking aspirin and Valium and cocaine?" And, you know, my common sense says to me that would just make a hell of a lot more sense. Now, we don't do that. We go to male pediatricians. They've never had a baby, and they're just out here prescribing and telling you ladies how to have babies, and they kill about 11, is it 11 out of 1,000? I think that's what the number is. 11 out of 1,000 die. If you had a midwife who lost 11 babies out of every 1,000 births, why, they'd lock that woman, they'd lock that midwife up in jail, never let them out. They absolutely wouldn't tolerate that. In fact, they prosecute all of them when they die. I knew of a Mormon midwife. He was a man. Not exactly clear, but he did 10,000 births in 30 years. And in 10,000 births in 30 years, he had 5 babies born dead. 5. Prosecuted 5 times. 5 dead babies, 5 prosecutions. In his case, he was fortunate that he won all 5 of his prosecutions. If he'd have lost 10, he'd have been prosecuted 10 times. I thought that was a phenomenal record. 10,000 babies in 30 years and only 5 of them born dead. Born dead. Didn't die in childbirth. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference how good your record is as a midwife or as a naturopath, unless you're a licensed naturopath. Now, in 8 states, they got licensing. All right, going on here, he says, the drug manufacturers resisted all attempts to force them to comply with these amendments, forcing the FDA to remove them from the market some 16 years later. The average life of an effective drug is about 15 years. This meant that the delaying tactics of the drug manufacturers had allowed them to milk these unproven drugs for their entire effective market life. My God. The FDA couldn't get the job done. They couldn't get these drugs off the market until their 15 years had expired, and then they took them off the market. But you know, here's the moral of the story. If the FDA comes to the conclusion that this particular drug is ineffective and doesn't work, and yet we're going to continue to sell it for another 10, 15 years, doesn't that tell you something about quackery? And these guys are not in business now for the health, safety, and welfare of the public. They're in business to make money, which is the purpose of business, by the way. The purpose of business is to make money. The purpose of the 7-Eleven business is to make money. The purpose of the lawyer business is to make money. The purpose of the doctor business is to make money. If, as an aside to that, they employ somebody, or they win a case for somebody, or they actually cure somebody, it's a side effect that's not intended, and it's not a part and parcel of the business process. Now, I'm not opposed to doctors. I've been to a doctor a time or two. You know, if I broke my leg, I think probably I'd go to an allopathic medical doctor. I don't know of any chiropractors that can handle broken bones. I suppose they could, I guess, if they put their minds to it. Naturopaths, generally speaking, I don't know if they do or not, but I suppose they probably could, but allopathic medical doctors are just kind of the place to go when you have a broken bone. So my wife had a broken ankle here some years back, and we went right down to the local allopathic medical doctor who x-rayed it and put on a cast, and they paid him the money and walked out the door, and I thought that was a pretty good service. So I'm not opposed to you allopathic medical doctors. But hey, listen, you medical doctors, you know that aspirin is bad. Now, why don't you tell your patients, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe this aspirin over here might not be as good as you think it is. Hey, there's 3,000 unproven drugs out here. Why don't we make sure that the drug that we're going to prescribe here actually works, actually does what it says it's going to do? Instead of prescribing x-rays, when you know full well this person doesn't need an x-ray, like a dentist who says to me why it would be medical malpractice not to take x-rays. What in the hell do you need to take an x-ray to fill a hole in a tooth for? I suppose if I was concerned about some hidden cavities between my teeth, I might say, yeah, I could see the value of an x-ray. Now, I mentioned to you the other day, I got cancer on my jaw. I used Indian black salve to burn it out and worked fine. That's called quackery. I treated my own cancer. I am a quack. Don't deny it. I'm an untrained, unproven medical practitioner. But my cancer is gone, and I didn't spend $100,000 on it. And as old as I am, I don't expect to die from cancer. And I'm perfectly satisfied with my own self-diagnosis and my own self-treatment. I can do that. I couldn't do that for you, because I'm not a part of the medical monopoly. But I just wanted to point out that the members of the medical monopoly, who are the greatest proven quacks that God ever put breath into, they can't cure it, and tell you plainly we can't. We don't know what causes it. We don't know how to cure it. But for $100,000, by God, we'll treat it until you go broke. But isn't that quackery? Remember, this is Murder by Injection. You want to get a copy from BraveNewBookstore.com. That's BraveNewBookstore.com. Eustace Mullins is the writer. Murder by Injection is the book. You can call Brave New Bookstore at 512-480-2503. I'm out of time. Let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.